All right, if you would please open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. I want to start out by letting you know that I was also neighbors of Michael Jordan. That helps in this sermon at all. I don't know. Did I know that you were in Deerfield for a while? I don't even know. That's my hometown. That's amazing. That's awesome. I'll have to catch up about that. All right, so Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. We're going to read 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So here we started talking about this a bit last week when we were talking about fruit, good fruit and bad fruit. The force, the idea of this passage is it's not just about hearing, it's not just about nodding, it's not just about saying a couple of words. It's about putting this into practice. It's about listening, hearing, doing, and putting it into practice. You have your note sheets, I hope, again. On the back of them, I put a very similar, almost the same list as I did last week. It talks about good fruit and bad fruit, and it's all about putting this into practice, putting what we are reading. This is all towards obedience towards God, putting it into practice. What Jesus said, actually walking it out, actually doing it. If your Bibles are open to Luke chapter 6, when he talks about what are these things that we are called to put into practice, the main focus, it's everything the Bible says. It's all of God's, you know, laws towards us. It's all of what he asks us to do. But most specifically, it's these things that Jesus had just been talking about. He started out in Luke 6:18, it talks about, it says, starting in verse 17, he went down with them and stood in a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him. And it says to be healed of their diseases as well. And so he's saying these people who have come to hear him. And then in verse 27, it says, but I tell you who hear me. And then he tells them things that they are supposed to do. So this main context is these people that he's talking to. He says, they've come to hear, those who hear what I'm telling you, you need to not just hear, not just come, listen, even nod your head, but you need to put it into practice. What is the context? What were the things that we were talking about? Again, it's all what God tells us to do, but most specifically, this context of this passage, this sermon, it's all about loving our enemies, turning the other cheek, forgiving, and you will be forgiven. It was all about choosing the way of grace. I'm going to offer forgiveness just as I'm hoping and praying that God will forgive me as well. Not choosing to hold everything against everyone else, because if God holds every sin we do against us, there's no way we can stand underneath that. It means digging deep to attach ourselves to the foundation. I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. There's verse after verse in Scripture that talks about the rock being Jesus Christ, the foundation being Christ, the cornerstone being Christ. I'm going to read a couple of these verses. Isaiah 28:16. Prophecy related to Christ. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. It's like setting that foundation on the cornerstone on Christ, it will not be disturbed. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Ephesians 2:19-22. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." This imagery of the foundation, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. The cornerstone was the biggest, heaviest, most important stone in the building. All the other stones would be set in direction by it. So it had to be that perfect stone that could create the anchor, but also be that stone that gives the line so all the other stones could be built on top of it. The rock, that is the crucial thing here. The rock, the thing that determines whether the building stands or not, is not so much the quality of what was built on top, but whether it was attached to the rock, whether the foundation was set. When he's talking about putting this into practice, the very first step, the most important thing is attaching ourselves to the foundation, attaching ourselves to Christ. The building kind of on top, that is what we do. That is when we put our lives into practice. That's when we read. That's when we study. That's when we kind of build off of that foundation through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are called to respond in obedience and not in lawlessness or wickedness. James 1:22-25 says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Be doers of the word, not just hearers who delude themselves. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what he looks like or what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." Don't just go look at a mirror. It's kind of a weird analogy. Look at a mirror, you think you look like that, you turn away and you just like forgot it. I think I talked about this verse in the past. It's like sometimes we look in a mirror and we smile, and you know, because we're looking in a mirror. Don't ask Heather about this. She's gonna say I make a particular face when I look in the mirror. The Zoolander expression, you know, I don't do that. No. Occasionally I do. Anyway. And it's like you give your best face in the mirror, and then it's like you go off and you forget that, and you just act, you know, a different way. You have a frown on your face the rest of the day. It's seeing what is true, but then living it out. Not just forgetting it, not just hearing, not just coming to church, not just reading the Bible and nodding along and then going off and living a different life. Is nodding along, but then going off and trying to put that into practice, what we are reading, what we are learning, what we are talking about. There are passages where people came to Jesus. Well, there's one passage where his mother and his brothers came to Jesus, and the crowd was gathered around him. They're saying, "Hey, your mother and brothers are here." Like, and he was supposed to give deference to them, but his response was different. His response in Luke 8:21 was, My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Another person came to him and said, "Blessed is the womb who bore you." And Jesus' response in Luke 11:28 was, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Saying, like, it's not about who you were born to. It's not about these things. It's about whether you're listening to the word and following it, whether you're putting it into practice, whether you're doing it. 2 Timothy 2:15-19. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they have upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. And that's in a tense verse. That's a challenge. If you name the name of the Lord, he's saying, if you call me Lord, Lord, why don't you do what I say? Why don't you put this into practice? If you are naming the name of the Lord, there's that call to abstain from wickedness. Knowing the word and following it. This is the house in this analogy. The foundation is Christ. The house is following after him. The house is more like the works. And last week's analogy is that good fruit. When we talked about this, this is not something that we can do on our own. Fruit comes from the tree. It comes from having a changed heart. It comes from, again, our foundation being Christ. And the fruit, the good fruit, comes out. It comes out of our new nature. If our works are built on the foundation of Christ, that's a house that's built on the rock. And that's a house that will not fall under judgment. That's the key, that those works need to come out of that foundation of Christ. This passage, right, it talks about if you're attached to Christ, you won't fall when the storm comes. If you're not attached to Christ, you will fall when the storm comes. Now, there are a couple of ways that you could potentially look at that. You could think about that as the difficulties in life when times are really tough. If you're connected to Christ, you're not going to fall in those times. And that's certainly true. And there are passages that talk about that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If we are attached to Christ, we can do that. There's this verse that Heather gave me from our bathroom wall, which is Proverbs 1:33, which says, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And so there are these verses that talk about if we're connected to Christ, we're not going to fall under the difficult circumstances of life. And that is absolutely true, but it doesn't seem to be exactly what this verse is talking about. This verse seems to be talking about the judgment of God and the final day, the wrath of God being poured out about sin, on sin. Can we stand when that happens? Why do I think that? There's a couple of reasons. One, there's a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 7. You can look there if you would like. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So he's saying, look, at that end time, there's somebody listening, even cast out demons in his name and that type of thing, but just continued a practice of lawlessness. There was no repentance, there was no fruit, there was no change, there was no listening to God. He's saying, I never knew that person. He's talking about this end of the age judgment. They cannot stand. They were never truly connected to Jesus. Notice that, I never knew you. It wasn't they truly knew Christ, but they didn't do good enough. They didn't follow the law well enough. That wasn't the issue. It was that they never truly knew Jesus. And that was displayed in the continued acts of wickedness, of lawlessness, of going the wrong direction. There's another passage in the Old Testament in Ezekiel which gives us this picture of the wrath of God as a storm coming at the end, and those who can't stand under it because they've created a facade, they've created a house, they've created a whitewashed wall, but with no substance, with no foundation. Ezekiel 13:13 and 15 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. Verse 15 says, thus I will spend my wrath on the wall and on those who have gone, those who have plastered it over with whitewash, and I will say to you, the wall is gone and its plasterers are gone. That's kind of the house. That's by their own actions. You can make something that looks pretty good on the outside, but when God comes to judge, if it is not connected to the foundation, it will fall. In our passage in Luke 6, the language itself also gives the impression of this final destruction. At the end, it says their destruction is complete. The group that did not attach themselves to the foundation, it ends by saying their destruction is complete. Now, there may be some of you out there that are worried that I'm preaching like a work salvation, like you have to believe in Jesus, but then you also have to work, or it's by your works that you're saved, or something like that, or you need to believe plus works in order to be saved, and it's not saying that. In fact, it's just the opposite, because if we think about the works as our house, the house doesn't save us, right? You can make a really beautiful looking house with your works. But if it's not attached to the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, it will fall. It will fall when the judgment comes. It also kind of gives us a picture. I'm sure every one of us has known non-Christians, non-believers that do good works, kind of in quotes. They do things that seem nice. I'm sure you also know some that are really mean. There was one that was really mean to Heather yesterday. I was upset. Anyway. Like that happens, but we all have friends, we've had relatives, or they you could look at their house and say, that's a pretty good house of works. But that's not going to save them. It's not what saves us. It will fall. So this is not talking about work salvation. Again, what we are called to put into practice too, remember from the passage what we're called to put into practice. Forgive and you will be forgiven. It's choosing the way of grace. And so, if our work saved us, it wouldn't say you will be forgiven. It would say you're all good. You don't need to be forgiven. Your works have saved you. But it says, choose this way of grace. Put it into practice. Forgive others. You will be forgiven. If you choose that measure of grace, that's what will be used towards you. So this is not a work salvation. It's about putting our foundation on the rock. I want to show you some pictures here. Sorry about that. Whoop. Okay, so I'm going to show you a couple of houses. I'm going to ask you which of these houses you would prefer. I'm going to show them a couple of times. This one, house two, or house one. This is house one. House two, go to all the houses. Give me a show of hands. Who prefers house one? All right, we got some, about 32% of the people. House 2, who prefers this? All right, about 32% of the people. 36% of the people can't decide. Right, they don't want yellow houses. All right, how about if this is where you lived? Does that change your view? All right, so this is the aerial picture prior to Hurricane Ike, and this is after Hurricane Ike. If you notice, you can see kind of one thing down in the middle towards the bottom. I'm going to zoom in on that a little bit. I'm going to zoom in further. I swear that's not Photoshop. That's a real picture. That was house two, by the way. If you'll remember, that was house two. Like this is a house built on the foundation. This is a house built on the foundation. See, on the outside it can look one way, but a house built on the foundation of Christ, that's what happens. If you chose house one, if you feel like my works look a lot like house one, I think I'm pretty good. How sure are you when the storm comes, when the judgment of God comes, when God, who is perfect in holiness, looks at your life, how sure are you that you can stand? I love that phrase. By the way, I have one more before and after picture. So to share with you also what happens. I'll go back to this one. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Works without Christ will not save you. But neither will empty words without something real. Just saying like, Lord, Lord, and have it be. You can teach a parrot to say, Lord, Lord. Do you know that? You can teach a parrot to say the sinner's prayer. By the way, if you have a parrot, you have to do that. Otherwise, your parrot is in danger of damnation. I'm just teasing, right? But that's like that. That's ridiculous, right? So you could teach a parrot and they'd say it. It might even touch your heart to hear the parrot say, like, yes, I repent, believe in Jesus Christ. Does anyone have a parrot in here? I would like to do this if we have one. Anyway, let me know if you know someone with a parrot. But if it's just words, it's meaningless. Again, if it's just words on our own, it's going to fall. But if it's just words, it's also just going to be this facade that's meaningless. It has to be real. There needs to be a real connection to Jesus. So dig deep to the foundation. It has to be a real relationship. Again, if you look at the verses that we read, we'll notice that Jesus, again, he didn't say, oh, you didn't follow the law well enough, so you're going to be cut off. He starts out, every time there's damnation, he says, I never knew you. Doesn't say, I knew you, you did pretty good, and then I got rid of you because you weren't good enough. He says, I never knew you. There was never that attachment. There was never that connection to the foundation. He said that in the Matthew passage. I never knew you. There's another passage in Matthew 25, verse 11 to 13, where there were people that were locked out at the end. And it says, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I don't know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. Is there a real connection to the rock? Is there a real connection to the foundation? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? There's a theological term called lordship salvation, and then this, if you're familiar with that, if you're not, there are some people who may say we're talking about, okay, you can't just say Lord, Lord, you actually have to make him your Lord. But then there's a question of what does that mean? Does it mean I have to be perfect? Because I have to make him Lord in everything, I can't be perfect, so does that mean he's not my Lord? And there's some tricky issues, but I think we sometimes make it trickier than it has to be. And I want to use another analogy, hopefully, to help clear this up. Let me use the example of a coach and kind of put it in a baseball analogy. Let's say you said, I've got the best coach ever. I love my coach. I sing songs about my coach. He's amazing. And then someone asks you, okay, well, how did you guys do in the last game? He's like, what are you talking about? I don't go to the games. Or let's say that person went and you went to the games and the coach told you, go play second base. And you were like, no, I'm a better shortstop. I want to play short. What if the coach came up or you came up to bat and there was a runner on first base and the coach said, I want you to bunt him over to second base, sacrifice yourself, bunt him over to second. And you're like, no, I'm an amazing hitter. I'm swinging for the fences. And just every step, everything the coach said, you're like, no, doing the opposite. But you're like, I love my coach. It's like, what does that make sense? If you're going to call him coach, then treat him like the coach. When he tells you to do something, try to do it. Again, it doesn't mean be perfect. Because if your coach says, hey, go play second base, and the ball comes to you, it's hit hard to you, you make an error. You're still trying. You're still following the coach. You're listening to him, what he said about how to field the ball. You're trying. You're still going to make mistakes. And even sometimes you're still going to get upset with the coach. You might even rebel. He might even tell you to go play right field. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. You may grumble. But we kind of know, am I really treating this person like a coach that I love? Or am I just totally separate from him in this relationship? By the way, I'm not just using this analogy because softball starts tonight and I don't want any grumbling or complaining. But seriously, don't grumble or complain if we put you in right field. That's the idea. Is there a real acknowledgement? Is there a real reaction? Like, I am treating this person like the coach. I am treating this person like the Lord. Yes, I'm going to mess up at times. Yes, I'm even going to rebel at times. But have I made that real choice, that real connection? And is it shown out in the fruit of my life? And then to try our best to follow what God wants us to be doing, to abstain from wickedness. It's not easy, but genuinely try, not just sitting back and say, I went to church, God, you figure out the rest, but really trying. And look at that list I gave you last week. It's in there again. Think about the things that you're struggling with. Work on those things. Is it true for me? Is it true for you? There's so many different things you can do. Like, put, you know, verses on your mirror, memorize verses. I found this card this morning that someone left, which is awesome. It said, this is an anonymous prayer request. I believe God has led it to the right person. Yes, you, smiley face. Please pray, God, let this person stop lying and love the truth. I just think that's awesome. It's a creative way to say, like, this is something I'm struggling with. I'm going to pray for it. I want to work on it. And God, let someone else who doesn't know pray for this too. It's like whatever we can do to work on that, to grow, to listen to our coach, to listen to our Lord. You know, I want our houses to look like that one. Works built on Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I also want us to think about the neighbors in this picture. Because we can be secure in our own house and say, I've got an awesome foundation. I'm going to stand when the storm comes. We don't do any favors to our neighbor to look at their house and go, you've got a beautiful house. If your neighbor does not know Jesus Christ, you do not do them any favors to look at their house and go, you've got a beautiful house. You're a really nice person. I bet you're going to go to heaven because you're good enough. If we live in a house like this and our neighbor lives in a house without a foundation, and we know the hurricane is coming, if we don't tell them, you know, how do we feel? That's not showing love to them to do that. Part of putting this into practice, part of putting the words in God's word into practice, the words of Jesus Christ into practice, probably the most important part of that is saying to our neighbors, you need to be connected to the foundation that is Jesus Christ. There's a storm coming, and I want you to stand. I want you to stand at the end of it. In the good works that we do, the fruit, all of that stuff, hopefully it's also going to help people lead to that. Because if you do have a great foundation, but you've got a little rickety, cruddy shack standing on top of it, you may survive. You'll survive if you're truly connected to Christ. But there's not going to be a lot of people who look at that and go, yeah, I want that. And so when we build on that foundation of Christ and we follow His words, I was playing softball with another team this last Monday night. It wasn't a church, it's in a city league, and about a third of the guys on my team are from a church. We played another team that was a church, and it was interesting because they were so encouraging of each other, and this was a city league. They stunk, by the way. They were an awful team. We beat them by like 13 runs. But they were so encouraging. And one of the non-Christians on our team was like, wow, that's like the most encouraging group of people I've ever seen. And that's awesome. That's what we need to be, is a house built on Christ. And it's of such a type that people look at it and go, that's an awesome house. And we can say, yeah, it's because it's built on Christ. He's shown me the way. He's the architect. He's the cornerstone. I've got living stones around me that are helping me. And we look like that. And they say, I want to be like that. Let's put our faith into action this week. Let's look at what we can do in our own lives. And let's have a mindset for our neighbors, so that they can be on that foundation of Christ. If you are in this room and you do not know Jesus Christ, how sure are you that when the end comes that you can stand? If you're not sure, you can be sure by the end of this service. You can lay your foundation on Jesus Christ right now. Say, Jesus, I am a sinner. As much as I try, I can't be perfect. I can't do it on my own. I can't withstand perfect holiness when judgment time comes. God, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to take my punishment on the cross. God, I repent. Help me follow you. I want you to be my coach. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Father. I want you to discipline me when I mess up. I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. You can stand when the judgment of God comes. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for coming to this world as Jesus Christ, living a perfect life, dying on the cross, so that you could be our rock, our foundation, our cornerstone. God, we're grateful that we can stand because we are attached to you. God, help build each one of us into a beautiful house. And together, God, help use each one of us as living stones to build a beautiful community. A community that people can look at and go, wow, I've never seen such a group so loving, so encouraging. God, help us to be that. Help us to look out for our neighbors. Help us to look out for people in need of a firm foundation. Help share that with them. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.